The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give it to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. You heard me tell you, I am going away and I will come back to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice that I'm going to my Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it happens, so that when it happens, you may believe. I will no longer speak much with you, for the ruler of the world is coming. He has no power over me. But the world must know that I love the Father, and that I do, just as the Father has commanded me." The Gospel of the Lord.
Good, and so once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. And once again, welcome back to our little rectory chapel, where we once again heard our first reading from Acts of the Apostles. And you've heard me say this to you before, how important Acts of the Apostles is, and the reason why it's so important is because it tells us that Jesus and the church are the same thing. Jesus is one with the church, and the church is one with the Lord, and that is so hard sometimes for us to know. But it's true, and that's the reason why Acts was written, so that people would realize that what Jesus did in his life, the church now continues in time. So what I ask you to focus on is something from your first reading that you heard with the travels of Paul and Barnabas. Okay, so a little lesson from that. Paul and Barnabas, they're going around from place to place to all these Greek cities with funny names like Perga and Pamphylia and Pisidia and Lyconia and Lystra and Derbe and Antioch. And what the heck are they doing? Well, I'll tell you, they're not like a pinball in a machine, just getting knocked around from place to place, blowing wherever the wind blows them next, itinerant preachers with no goal and with no purpose. No. You know what they're doing, Paul and Barnabas? They are establishing parishes. Right? Now listen to this. When they go into one of those cities, first reading tells us they do three things. Right? They do three things. First, they appoint presbyters. Second, they lay hands on them. Third, they entrust them to the people. Now, first they appoint presbyters. Presbyter is just the Greek word for elder. But did you know that our word priest is nothing other than a mispronunciation of the word presbyter? In fact, they still call priests presbyters to this day. In the rite of ordination, for example, they say the rite of ordination of a presbyter. So they're establishing priests, and I've mentioned this before, they do it by laying on of hands. That's the rite of ordination, as I mentioned in a homily a week or so ago. And lastly, they entrust them to the people. And the people are entrusted to their presbyter, to their priest. And all of them are answerable to the one who gave the authority to that presbyter, to answerable to a bishop. In this case, it's St. Paul. But if you look there, you'll see that all the basics of a parish are established. A priest with a line of succession that's traced through the apostles back to Christ. People who are entrusted to the priest entrusted to the people, answerable to a bishop, everything's there. Now, not all the modern things in a parish are present, right? I mean, there's no diocesan assessment, there's no June transfers, and best of all, there's no bishop's Lenten appeal, okay? But all the basics are present, and you can see that this is happening right there in Acts of the Apostles. So with that as a background, right, this is what I really want you to focus on today. Notice what Paul and Barnabas say to these brand new parishes, what they're supposed to do. They say they're supposed to do two things. They're supposed to build one another up in spirit and exhort one another to persevere. Those are your marching orders today, brothers and sisters. Ask yourself this question. Do you build other people up in spirit? You know, some people, when they talk about the faith, it's as though they're putting on armor for battle and they treat other people like the enemy and it's always a fight and it's always a combat. I mean, do you forget that what we got to share with one another is good news? I think sometimes people forget that. And we share that with one another. And it's going to take a lot of forms. Maybe it's a word of encouragement, right? Maybe it's a word of praise. Maybe it's a word of kindness. Maybe it's a word of correction. Ultimately, building one another up in spirit is sharing charity with one another. And charity is a lot deeper than just kindness, right? It's the full goodness that we have to share with one another. But ask yourself that question. Do you build one another up in spirit, or do you live your life hoping that other people are going to build you up? Turn that around, just like they did in the first parishes. And then the second thing they say is to encourage one another to persevere. It's so important. It's not hard to keep God's commandments. What's hard is to persevere in keeping God's commandments. That's why Paul and Barnabas tell the people, it's necessary to undergo many hardships to enter into the kingdom of God. Jesus never said, come follow me and all your troubles will be over. No, we persevere. And we need God's grace for that. And we need to share that with others. But you can't give what you don't have. And that's why Jesus says to his apostles here in the gospel, peace I leave with you. That's why Jesus says that. Now, I touched on this yesterday. But that when Jesus says peace, it's not what the world means. And he even says that. Not as the world gives do I give it. What does the world mean when they talk about peace? Well, they usually mean the absence of a conflict. Or they mean homeostasis, which is a balance between needs and fulfillment. You know, the word peace comes to us from the Latin word pax. And a pax was a truce. When two people were fighting a battle, and then when they were finished fighting a battle, they'd sign a peace treaty. They called it a pax. And it meant, I'm not going to fight you anymore, and you're not going to fight me anymore. But, you know, anybody over the age of 7 knows that peace is a lot more than that, right? That's why when Jesus said this word to his apostles, you know, in Hebrew, he would have used the word shalom. And it comes down to us through the Greek translation in the Gospel of John, as Irene. Fortunately, those two words mean the same thing. It's a lot more than just an absence of conflict. Peace, as Jesus means it, as shalom intends it to be meant, it means wholeness, completeness, everything in its right place. And it's very, very deep. But that peace only comes as a result of a conflict. Because God's honest truth, you and I do not have all of our pieces in all the right places, do we? Right? I mean, if one thing can be said, is that the human heart has a throne, so to speak, and on that throne there's room for one. If God's not the one sitting on the throne of your heart, chances are it's you, right? And to depose yourself off the number one seat in your own heart, man, that's painful. That hurts. Peace comes when every part of our life is where it's supposed to be, where we're whole and complete, and it only comes at the end of the struggle. That's why Paul and Barnabas would always greet crowds by saying, grace and peace. We need God's grace to have God's peace, because we've got to fight the good fight to put God in the place where he belongs, right? The place of the center of the throne of our hearts. It's a fight that we want. You and I, deep down inside, we don't really want to have easy lives. What we want, rather, is to have strong souls. Let's cooperate with our Lord's grace then, one little day at a time, that his peace might be in you and your peace might be complete. Amen.